to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, I'll read verses 26 through 27. Earlier in verse 20, the Pharisees had asked Jesus Christ when the kingdom of God would come. He told them that the kingdom of God would not come through observation. We don't know if the Pharisees were asking, wanting to know, or maybe even asking to find fault, as they often did. Jesus told them it would not come as they think. It's not like a physical kingdom, a nation rising to power that you'd normally see in the world. He told them earlier that the kingdom of God was in their midst because they did not recognize that he was the Messiah, that was their opportunity now to repent because the kingdom of God is near. In verse 26 of Luke chapter 17, it says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they were married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed all of them." If you turn to Genesis chapter 6, read verses 5 and 6, we'll look at what it was like during the days of Noah. You know, we know from the Bible that the days of Noah were evil, but here in Genesis chapter 6, 5, verse 5 and 6 tells us what that time is truly like. I'll read this from the 1984 NIV version. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. "Then the Lord saw how great man's wickedness was on the earth had become, and their every inclination of their thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Then the Lord was grieved that he'd made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain." Skipping down to verse 11. "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth what had become, for all the people had corrupted their ways." You know, in the time before the flood, everyone's thoughts were about evil. It says the word corrupt three times in these verses. The Hebrew word for corrupt can mean decay, but it can also mean literally ruined. Literally ruined. You know, God is described as a God of love. He's not uncaring, even to the pain and suffering that happens to people that are sinning. It says that he was grieved. You know, he was grieved at the level of violence that had taken over the earth. But if you turn to the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 3, or verses 1 through 4, Paul tells Timothy what it'll be like before Jesus Christ's return. At that point in time, Jesus would return to save mankind from destroying himself. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." You know, the Greek word here, perilous, can mean very difficult and dangerous. You know, Paul's using very strong words here. A blasphemer, as talked about in verse 2, is someone who speaks against God mockingly, someone in a derisive manner, someone who has no respect for God. It talks about people who would be unholy, without self-control. Those would be brutal, despisers of good. But both in the time of Noah and in the time of the end, we see under Satan's influence that human nature and mankind has corrupted themselves. There's not really any thought of God or even turning their life to God. They see no need for God. You know, both these times, the level of evil and violence, no one thinks any thoughts of needing to change or to repent. It's good to understand these verses and how we should respond in our life. You know, the Bible gives us the example of how Noah responded, and it's a vital lesson for each of us here today. So for this sermon, I have six important lessons from Noah that we need to apply in our life. Six important lessons that we need to apply in our life that we can learn from Noah. You know, the world seems to be getting to be much like the days of Noah at this time. The title for today's message is Living in the Days of Noah. You know, Noah lived at a time where God needed to reset the direction of mankind. As I said earlier, it was not a decision that he made lightly. First point I want to bring out, that Noah was obedient and righteous. Noah was obedient and righteous. You turn back to Genesis chapter 6. We'll start in verse 8 that tells us a little bit about Noah. Genesis chapter 6, starting verse 8. It says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace can mean favor. He received favor from God because of the way that he was living his life. And continuing on in verse 9 out of the NIV, it says, this is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. You know, the King James Version states that Noah was a just man. Just can also mean righteous. Noah was righteous and blameless. It says here that he walked with God. And we need to be obeying God's commandments and be growing in righteousness to become like our Father in Jesus Christ. In our attitudes and our thoughts, Amos chapter 3, verse 3 tells us this. It asks the question, can two walk together unless they're agreed? Can two walk together unless they're agreed? The answer is no. To be able to walk with God takes his grace and love for us and our willingness to submit to him. Willingness to submit to the instructions in his Bible that teaches us how we should live. Question that we all probably should ask ourselves, I ask myself as well, would God say these things about me? Am I one that he would say is walking with him? Is my heart, my mind, and my actions following his truth? Am I seeking him spiritually? You know, if we're not doing those things, we can end up walking by ourselves spiritually. You turn to, you may not even need to turn there in your Bible, but in chapter 7, verse 5, as we continue to look at Noah, that he is obedient and righteous both. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah lived 600 years old when the floodwaters came to the earth. You know, hopefully we're motivated by what the Bible tells us about God's plan, about Jesus Christ returning back to this earth. Noah was motivated to do everything that God commanded him to do. You know, Noah's had an obedient life probably before God even called upon him to build the ark. And when he did call upon him to build the ark, he was willing to do that. You know, Noah lived his life much like we see in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Noah was also a light in an evil, corrupt world in which he lived. He was a light to those around him, of somebody that would be following God. We need to be a light to this world as well in how we conduct ourselves, that others would see God's way of life in us and how we live. You know, to understand the times that Noah lived in, it's good to think about how many people were alive at that time. You know, adding the span of father and son by the genealogy provided in Genesis chapter 5, appears that the flood came between 1600 and 1700 years after the creation of Adam and Eve. Well, no one knows the population at the time of Noah based upon the years and the fact that people lived hundreds of years at that time. There was really no war, no diseases. It's been estimated that there have been over 4 billion people living at that time. There's a lot of people living in the time of Noah. It says Noah was 600 years old when the flood came, and 2 Peter 2:5 says, God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing a flood on a world of the ungodly. Peter tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness, I'm sure, was telling people why he was building the ark. Noah was probably telling them that they needed to change their life, that they needed to repent. You know, Noah didn't live in a time of modern technology, but I can't imagine the news of building the ark didn't spread by word of mouth? How many people would want to come and see something like that being built? And each time when people would come, there was Noah there telling them that he needed to change, that he was building an ark because a flood was coming. But all they could see was an area that had very little to no water. They didn't believe what he was telling them. Like many today, there comes a point in time where people become so hardened that they won't change in their life. They don't see the need to change. They don't see the need, as I spoke about earlier, to follow God, that God could even be a part of their life. You know, God selected Noah for a special purpose, and he selected us and called us for a special purpose as well. We have an opportunity to be a part of his family at this time. Noah was an example of righteousness, and we need to be mindful that we're walking with God each day in our lives, that we exhibit the characteristics of God and Jesus Christ in our life. The second point I want to bring out is Noah had active living faith. Noah had active living faith. You don't need to turn there. I'll read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7 tells us this. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for saving his household, by which he condemned the world, and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. I would suggest that all of us have been divinely warned about what's going to happen in the future, that we have the opportunity now to understand God's plan for mankind. We have the Bible. Noah didn't have the Bible. We need to make sure that we respond faithfully like Noah did. Noah believed what God told him, and he followed God's instructions to build the ark. He didn't do this out of fear of losing his life. He did it out of reverence to God. And he had faith in God. And he acted upon that, trusting what God had told him. You know, Noah's actions in believing and following God, he became an heir of righteousness because of his faith. You know, at the end of Genesis chapter 5, it describes the descendants of Adam. It tells us that Noah was 500 years old, and he had three sons. Chapter 7, verse 6 states that Noah was 600 years old when the flood came. So it's believed that the ark took 100 to 120 years to build. You know, Noah probably had help from his family, but he also probably had help from others. Noah and his family were saved. They preserved life going forward on the earth, but no one else was aboard the ark. Much like Abraham and Noah's faith in God were accounted for righteousness. They were accounted for righteousness. We need to be making sure that we walk in faith, that we're walking in faith in how we live our lives, that we respond to the teaching that God gives us. We need to repent, to change, that are not according into God's commandments and his way of life that we've been taught. You know, Noah lived hundreds of years. Obviously, we don't have that much time. If you turn to John chapter 20, or verses 29 through 31, Noah had faith. What God told him was true, even though he didn't have any physical evidence of the flood coming. Here in John writes about one of the 12 disciples who had not seen Jesus Christ after his resurrection would not believe, stating that he would only believe if he could touch the wound that Jesus Christ received during his crucifixion. We'll pick up the story in John chapter 20 and verse 29. And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed." And truly Jesus did many signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. Brethren, we have to believe in God's promises. We have to believe what the Bible teaches without seeing the physical signs of those things. While we can see God's creation around us, we have to put our faith and our trust in God. We have to have active living faith, just like Noah had in his life. Noah started building the ark, and we need to start building God's holy and righteous character and making changes in our life. And God gives us the help to do that with his Holy Spirit. Point number three, Noah followed God's plans, working out his own salvation. Noah followed God's plans, working out his own salvation. We must be also following God's plan and working out our own salvation as well. Hopefully you saved your place back in Genesis. I'm going to go back to Genesis chapter 6. Read verses 14 through 18. You know, God provided the plans for building the ark. God's Bible contains plans for us. And God's Spirit will help us to understand and help us to work out our own salvation. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is what you shall make. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. And you shall make it lower, you shall make with it lower, second, and third decks." You know, God gave Noah the instructions on how to make the ark. No one knows what gopher wood, what tree came from. No one really understands exactly what a cubit is either. A cubit at the time was an ancient measurement from the distance of the elbow to the tip of the longest or middle finger of your hand, from your elbow to the finger. It's estimated that the Bible used a cubit from 17.5 inches to 21.5 inches, somewhere in between that. I mentioned earlier when Christy and I and her mother went to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky, it has a replica of the Ark. They used the long cubit, 20.4 inches. The replica of the Ark is 510 feet, it's 85 feet wide, and it's 51 feet high. In comparison, it's 170 yards long. A football field is 100 yards. There's no way you can imagine how big that ark is unless you saw something like the Ark Encounter. It's just huge. It's mind-boggling to see it. Noah was commissioned to build that massive ship, and that's what he did. Continuing on in verse 17, "And behold, I myself bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, which is the breath of life, and everything that is on the earth shall die. And I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you." I mentioned earlier, God didn't make this decision lightly. When Jesus Christ returns to set up God's kingdom, that will be to save mankind from destroying this earth and destroying man. Noah had a big part in working out their own salvation. It's interesting, God didn't tell Noah, "Get your family and come meet me. I built you a ship. I built you a ship to get on. The animals are coming. I've got everything prepared for you. Just come." As we know from reading the Bible, the more you understand, God doesn't work that way. Noah had to build the ark. No doubt his family worked with him. You know, saying that Noah built the ark is the same as saying Solomon built the temple. Solomon didn't build the temple by himself, and I don't believe that Noah did not hire people to help him build the ark. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But Noah probably supervised and he worked with others to build the ark. God helped provide the wood, the material, the extra labor, if any was needed. You don't need to turn there, but I want to read two verses out of Philippians as we look at working out our own salvation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to do the will and to do his good pleasure. That's from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. We're to work to do God's will. We should remember that fear that God wants from us is respect, is reverence. It's not a cowering fear. It's a respect and reverence for him. You know, we're not without the plan that God has laid out to us. It's not that we don't understand what we need to be doing in our lives. You know, but godly fear can produce positive changes in our lives. You know, godly fear can produce humility that we're willing to submit our will to God. It can lead us to obey. Godly fear can help us to avoid sin. Godly fear helps us to have the right priorities in our life. God is offering us the opportunity to have eternal life with his family. Why would we want to allow ourselves to break God's commandments, ruining our relationship with God and with others and with our family? You know, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. The word trembling used here in Philippians can refer to a feeling of needing to get going and doing what God has given us to do. You know, as we looked at earlier, Noah had a proper respect and fear of God. He already was living a life obeying and walking with God before God called him to build the ark. As we read earlier in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, Noah was moved with godly fear. You know, godly fear means primarily to be circumspect, to be circumspect. Someone who is circumspect is careful considering all the circumstances before acting, before judging, before deciding. They act with caution. They're prudent and exercising sound judgment in what they do in their life. You know, Noah diligently took up the task of building the ark. It was going to be his salvation so that he would not perish in the flood. This is much different than we find with Lot and his family. Lot and his family, the angels had to take them by the hand to get them to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, Noah understood the need to get out of the world that he's living in, to get out of the world morally, to leave it behind, to not be physically attached to the things in the world. You know, it's hard to break free from the world and its influence. We live in the world each day. It will test our resolve. It'll test our patience. It'll test us to see if we will continue to follow God. You know, the world's attitudes can rub off on us a lot like it did Lot and his family. But we need to be careful in not letting the world and its ways become part of our ways. In Revelation chapter 18, verses 4 and 5, I'll read this. It tells us how serious it is not to allow the world to influence our thinking. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached to the heavens, and God will remember her iniquities. Now, this phrase is a repeated warning from Isaiah and Jeremiah to flee, to get out of Babylon. Brethren, we live in a spiritual Babylon today. God has called us to be pure and unspotted from this world, to not be like the world, not to have the values of this world. The example Noah had was a good reminder of being diligent, because he is very diligent in building the ark, even though it took him a long, long time to do that. And we need to be examining ourselves, much like we do in the spring holy days, before the fall holy day season begins. How is our relationship with God? Is it what it should be? Are we studying the Bible? Are we praying as we should? Hopefully we're doing these things And hopefully we love God's truth more than we love the things of this world. Point number four that I want to bring out today, prepare now for the future. Prepare now for the future. Noah and his family had a lot of building, a lot of preparing to build the ark. Even though it took 100 years to build, they continued on it diligently till it was finished. You know, many have heard the expression given, don't miss the boat. A missed opportunity. Don't miss the boat. So I was working on this sermon. I found it interesting. There was an ad from the 1940s from the Curtis Wright Technical Institute. Curtis Wright built airplanes, engines, and propellers at that time. And this ad was looking to train aeronautical engineers and airplane mechanics. And the ad was entitled, Trained Minds and Hands. At the end of that ad, I want to read the following quote that they had. In this ad, it said at the bottom of the ad, it said, warning, don't miss the boat. The greatest opportunity of your lifetime exists today. There never was such an opportunity in aviation for you. There may never be another. A position waits for you. Ensure yourself a steady income and independence for life. Don't follow, lead. Send in your enrollment today before you miss the boat. I thought that was very interesting. It's interesting in the context of God's calling. We have the greatest opportunity of our lives today. It exists today. A position awaits us in God's kingdom. We don't follow, we lead. You know, God's given us the greatest opportunity. We're not to follow this world, but we're to follow God. We're to allow God to lead us in our lives. We be careful that we don't miss the boat. If you turn to Psalms chapter 15, read verses 1 through 5, you know, God's preparing us to serve Him today and serve Him in the future. And Psalms chapter 15 tells us who God will allow to dwell with Him. It's a wonderful Psalms that we all probably know, we probably all read, but it really fits to what I'm talking about today. Psalms chapter 15, starting verse 1, a psalm of David. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up reproach against a friend. Who eyes a vile person is despised, but honors those who fear the Lord. Who swears to his own hurt, and does not change, who does not put out his money for usury, nor takes a bribe against the innocent, who does these things shall never be moved. You know, God wants us to dwell with Him. He talks about some of the things that we need to do that. He talks about someone who walks uprightly, someone who's growing spiritually in their life, works of righteousness, having right relationships with God, and having a right relationship with their family and with others. Talks about the truth is in their heart, and it comes out in their speech. Verse 3 is speaking about someone who would not slander or gossip about another person, who would not think evil of a friend or say something that was hurtful. Verse 4 is talking about someone who does not condone evil, but sees it for what it is. That they'd rather give respect and honor to those who fear and follow God. Talks about keeping their word even though it may turn out to be a disadvantage to them. In verse 5, it talks about when they lend money to someone, they don't charge interest. They're just in all their dealings. They never accept a bribe. And it tells us at the end, those who live their lives that way will never be moved away from God. They'll never be moved away from God. We need to be preparing each day to commit our life to allowing God to lead us. Just like Noah continued to work on the ark each day till it was completed. We understand we all fall short in this life, but we have God's grace. We have Jesus Christ's sacrifice that we can be forgiven of our sins, that we can continue to grow spiritually. Matthew chapter 6, read verses 19 through 21. Jesus tells us what we need to be doing each day. You know, each day Noah got up and continued to work on the ark. And there's things that we need to be doing as well. Matthew chapter 6, starting verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Brethren, the time is now to prepare for the future. Each day, we have the opportunity to become more like Jesus Christ and more like God our Father in our hearts and our minds, to grow in their character, to grow to become more like them. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17 tells us this. 1 John 2:17 says, "And the world is passing away with all its desires, but the person who does the will of God remains forever." Brethren, we need to make sure that we don't miss the boat. We prepare now for the future. This brings us to point number 5. Continue to persevere. Continue to persevere. Noah had to continue to persevere for over 100 years as he built the ark. Can't imagine there weren't many obstacles that needed to be overcome along the way. You know, 100 years is a long time for us to think about because we don't even live 100 years. Building an ark without power tools, without large cranes to assist, took time. We should not underestimate those at that time or those who came before us. They were very good at engineering things and building things. But there was a lot of physical hard work to build the ark. Noah had to continue to endure scoffers that probably came by. People that said, "You'll never get that done. You'll never be able to accomplish that." But Noah continued to work. He continued to persevere. And he's, as I said earlier, a preacher of righteousness. So he didn't shy away from warning those who came, telling them of their need to change. But they would not listen. Noah continued to persevere till the ark was completed. You know, all of us need perseverance when it comes to following God, when it comes to dedicating our life to Him. The definition from a persevere from the American Heritage Dictionary is this. This is the definition for persevere: to persist steadfastly in the pursuit of undertaking a task, a journey, or a mission in spite of distractions, difficulty, obstacles, and discouragement. I'll read that again. To persist steadfastly in the pursuit of undertaking a task, a journey, a mission, in spite of distractions, difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. Noah was able to do that. He completed building the boat. It took years to do. As I said earlier, I'm sure there were many obstacles to overcome, difficulties that came, distractions, and probably even discouragement at times. But Noah continued to build and continued to persevere. If you turn to Romans chapter 5, we're on a spiritual journey in our lives. As I said, we need to continue to persevere, not to give up, not to become discouraged, not to become distracted, because with God's help, we can overcome this world. Romans chapter 5, I'll start in verse 1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." We're told here through active faith, as we looked at earlier, that we receive God's grace. We have Jesus Christ as our Savior so that we can have peace and have hope. You know, as we go through this physical life, God wants us to grow in his godly character. It's not easy, but we know that he'll always be with us. He'll not forsake or leave us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 reminds us, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God's not giving up on us. He'll complete the work he started. But he also provides us the spiritual tools that we need. He gives us the spiritual tools that we need, but we have to pick them up and use them. You know, Paul reminded us of some of these spiritual tools that we need to be using. The spiritual armor to persevere against Satan's attacks. He talked about the belt of truth that defends us against Satan and the world's deceit. The breastplate of righteousness, which protects our hearts, enables us to be right with God. The shoes of the gospel of peace, so that we can continue to move forward to the kingdom of God and sharing it with others. The shield of faith. When we have the shield of faith, we understand that God will always be faithful to us. He'll never fail us. Talks about the helmet of salvation. The salvation means to be saved, to be delivered from something. It's only through God's goodness that we can be given salvation. And lastly, the sword of the Spirit, the inspired word of God that we all have. We all have his holy Bible to use and to guide us in living a godly life. Noah continued to persevere to complete the building of the ark. And we must continue to persevere in this physical life. And God prepares us for the future. He's preparing us and offering us salvation. Which brings me to my last point for today. It's only through God we can be saved. It's only through God we can be saved. Going back to Genesis chapter 7. The day came when the ark was completed, and Noah and his family loaded into the ark. As we look at this last point, it's only through God we can be saved. Genesis chapter 7, and starting in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I've seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you 7 each of every clean animal, a male and a female, 2 each of the animals that are unclean, male and female. Also 7 each of the birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after 7 days I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made." And Noah did according to that all that the Lord had commanded. And Noah was 600 years old when the floods came on the earth. Verse 7, Noah with his sons and his wives and his sons' wives went to the ark because of the floods, the waters of the flood. Noah did everything that God told him to do. He built the ark. He let the animals assemble on the ark as well. Genesis chapter 7, verse 16. Animals going in were male and female, every living thing as God had commanded Noah. And lastly, it says, then the Lord shut him in. You know, the ark was fully loaded. The door was shut. There was Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, their wives, a total of 8 people. 8 people were on the ark, that's all. Even though Peter stated Noah was a preacher of righteousness, no one heeded the warning that God gave them through Noah. It's interesting, in verse 16 it says, and the Lord shut him in. You know, the door of the ark was divinely shut, probably sealed as well to be watertight. Noah did everything that he was supposed to do, and God, as I said, sealed him into the ark. If you turn to Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 7, we'll read verses 1 through 3. There's coming a time when God will seal those who have repented and those who have been converted. It tells us that about this time in the future that's coming. Revelation chapter 7, and starting in verse 1. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or the sea or any tree. Then I saw an angel coming up from the east, having a seal of the living God. And he called out with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of God. You know, God recognized his people. They resemble him. They were told to have a seal put on them. You know, Jesus warned through many different parables that we needed to be ready for when God's kingdom comes. He said in some of those parables that he gave that he did not know those who were knocking on the door. He did not know those who showed up. He did not recognize them. It's only through being a disciple of Christ and having a relationship with God that we can be saved. And only God is the one who can save us. You know, the days that we're living in certainly resemble the days of Noah. Today I've looked at six important lessons that we can learn as Noah prepared for the flood that God warned him about. There's many parallels as we understand and prepare for God's kingdom. We need to be obedient, keeping God's commandments, growing in righteousness. We need to have active faith, submitting to God's will, relying upon him, putting our faith and our confidence in God. We need to continue following God's instructions, working out our own salvation, doing our part, because we know that God continues to do his part to help us. Noah could not have built the ark without God's divine help. We have God's Holy Spirit to help us overcome this world and Satan's influence. You know, the time to prepare is now. God's preparing us to serve him. None of us want to look back at this time and think that they missed out on the opportunity that God was giving them. You know, we need to persevere through this physical life, knowing that God will ultimately save us. If you turn over to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, we'll read verses 1 through 9 as a closing scripture for today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Paul wrote these verses to the church in Thessalonica, and they also apply to each of us here today. Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when you say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You know, we have the understanding that Jesus Christ will return. It shouldn't be a surprise to us. Continuing on in verse 5, it says, you are the sons of light, the sons of the day. You are not of the night nor darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, let's be spiritually awake. Let's not be distracted by the things going around us in this world and this nation. Let's have the breastplate of faith and love and the hope of salvation. This is our time to obtain salvation through our Savior, Jesus Christ.